let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Barnabas, you and I have been through a lot together.
Some unpleasant things, but more good, wonderful blessings.
Don't you think it's about time to start having some more experiences?
I know what you're going to say.
Well, we've been here in Antioch a long time, ever since we got back from the council in Jerusalem.
You need not try to persuade me, Paul. I'm of the same opinion. It is time we revisited the churches we started. The new believers may need help and encouragement.
When should we start?
As soon as we can. But I think the work is going to be so heavy, we should take someone with us.
Well, I have no objection.
I'd like to take John Mark.
You remember, of course, what happened when we took him before. He couldn't take the hardships and left us, went to the comforts of his home in Jerusalem.
Oh, I realize all that, Paul. But Mark is older. He's developed his Christian experience since then. I'm sure he can be depended upon now.
But what if he fails us again? It would have a bad influence on the believers, especially the new ones converted from heathenism. I don't think we should risk it.
Well, I do.
Well, we both have the right to our own opinions. But, Barnabas, there's only one thing I'm interested in, and that is telling people of the cross and salvation. Then once they've taken their stand for Jesus on the cross, help them, encourage them, strengthen them. Oh, no, Barnabas, I'm not in favor of taking someone with us who has once proved unfaithful.
Oh, he wasn't exactly unfaithful, Paul. It was merely that...
Mark has proved he has but little stamina. Such a person is not fitted for a work requiring patience, self-denial, bravery, devotion, faith, and a willingness to sacrifice, if need be, even life itself.
Well, I think he has these qualities. So he and I will go out together. Why don't you find someone else to go with you?
Silas, I need a partner to go with me. Barnabas is going with Mark. Will you go with me?
If you think I should.
On this journey, we will be interested in one thing only, saving souls.
I'll go with you.
We will encounter many dangers, hardships, trials. I'm anxious to see how those who were converted through the labors of Barnabas and me have endured the trials and tribulations of being Christians. For that reason, we will be going to Lystra, where I was stoned very nearly to death.
I'll go with you. Mother, my mind keeps going back to that day we stood around the torn and bruised body of Paul, thinking him dead. Outside of Jesus himself, I doubt if there ever has been a man less afraid of what will happen to his person, and more sincere and anxious to save people than Paul.
Paul is terribly afraid of one thing.
No, Mother, you're mistaken if you think Paul fears anything or anybody, even Satan.
He fears that he might fail of presenting every man perfect in Christ. He trembles for the result of his ministry, that he might not faithfully use and develop the talents God has given him, and thus fail in giving someone the good news of salvation.
Oh, Mother, how I long, how I pray that I may be like that.
You have been taught and brought up to love and obey God's laws.
And for this early training, Mother, I shall forever be thankful to you and Grandmother. Both of you have lived by your faith.
See who that is, will you, son?
Greetings, Timothy, my son.
Greetings, Paul, sir. Come in. Mother's here.
Thank you. Greetings, madam. May God grant you peace and bless your home.
We're so happy to see you. We think and talk about you and Brother Barnabas almost all the time.
Barnabas isn't with me this time. May I present Silas, a godly man and a prophet.
Welcome to our home, Silas, sir.
I heard so much about all of you that it seems I almost know you. So, you're Timothy.
Yes, sir.
You're Greek, I understand.
Father is Greek, yes, but mother is an Israelite. Very wisely, my mother has taught me Israelite scripture since I was a child. She and her mother both. They try to take good care of me.
Have you made up your mind yet, Paul?
No, not entirely. What do you think of him?
Now, there's no doubt that Timothy is a good boy, a real Christian. But whether he'll make a good minister of the gospel is hard to say. I think we need to find out a little more about him before we make up our minds.
Timothy? Well, he's one of the best young men I've ever known. Helpful and kind to everyone.
Well, he certainly comes from a good home. He's been taught the scripture since he was a child, and I think he lives what he believes.
I can't say enough good things about him. Timothy is faithful, steadfast, and true. I'm sure everyone in the church will agree with me.
You know how young folks are these days. Well, Timothy is different. He's a hard worker, fearless, and thoughtful. And above all, he's willing to be taught. Why, most young people won't even listen to older, experienced voices.
Timothy, If you accept Paul's invitation to go along and help, you're taking on a great responsibility. Your work will be sacred, whether you are cleaning Paul's sandals or preaching to multitudes. It is God's work. You will have to forget self and think only of the cross. Jesus nailed to the cross. Salvation by way of the cross. Lift up the cross of Christ high and still higher and still higher. For only by preaching salvation by Jesus on the cross will your labor as a minister be successful. Paul once said, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ."
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Is light to him, and night is as bright as the day. So you are safe though the light grows dim, for even the darkness is light to him. The Father above does not slumber or sleep, he wakefully watches our ways. Slumbers nor sleeps. So dry your eyes of angel blue and trust the one who died for you. Would not Jesus safely keep the little ones he loves asleep? Even the darkness is light to him. Night is as bright as the day. So you are safe though the light grows dim. For even the darkness is light to him. So dry your eyes of angel blue and trust the one who died for you. Would not Jesus say loves asleep. Even the darkness is light to him, and night is as bright as the day. So you are safe though the light grows dim, for even the darkness is light to him. Even the darkness is light to him.
Testing, testing. Okay, ready. Dear Diary, the teacher of my health class at school wants us to keep a record of what we do to stay healthy each day. So here goes. Today, I stood on the playground and breathed deeply 6 times, which some kids thought was kind of dumb because I was playing soccer at the time and my team was losing. What they didn't know was that breathing deeply helps relax you and makes you smarter. Breathing deeply fills your blood with oxygen, and that oxygen goes to your brain and muscles and makes them work better. Trust me, my team needed to work better right about then. So there I was, breathing deeply, when the ball comes flying out of the sky and hits me right on the head. That made me so embarrassed, I went over and kicked it as hard as I could. That ball flew down to the end of the field and bounced right into the net. Goal! Now, I'm not saying that breathing deeply will help your soccer game, but it will reduce your stress and make your organs healthier. My health teacher said it can even reduce your blood pressure, which I really needed at that time. You see, when I got embarrassed and kicked the ball, I kind of kicked it in the wrong direction, and it went right into my own net. Yep, that's right. I scored a goal for the other team. They were very happy and congratulated me. My team wasn't so thrilled. What did I learn today? Breathing deeply is good. But if a ball hits you on the head and makes you embarrassed, don't kick it.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you like visiting museums? Have you ever been in a museum of children's art? What if your museum were showing a collection of paintings of children and one of the pieces was mysteriously missing? That's what happens to Sammy and Ginny in this new Shoebox Kids mystery. Along the way, Sammy learns that helping others is part of what it means to be a Christian. Chapter 5. Sneak Attack. Thunder rolled across the sky again. Sammy crouched under the bushes beneath Mrs. Sheckley's front porch. After several long minutes, he stood up. "I have to know what's going on with Ginny," he mumbled, as he quietly climbed back onto the porch. As quietly as possible, he crept toward the dirty window of the living room. "Hello, Mrs. Wallace?" Mrs. Sheckley said into the old phone. "My name is Mrs. Sheckley. I live over on Jackson Street." She paused. 1233, that's right. I have a little girl here who has injured her leg." Jenny lay on the couch with her leg propped up on a pillow. As she listened, she noticed an old family Bible laying next to the couch. "It's beautiful," she thought. Carefully, she lifted the heavy old Bible and placed it in her lap. It had a heavy cover with gold-colored metal trim around the edges. She opened it carefully, and the pages opened to the Book of Micah. "No, I don't think it's that bad," she heard Mrs. Sheckley say to the telephone, "but I don't think she would want to ride her bicycle home." Pause. "Well, maybe it's best that she explain what happened when you come over to pick her up." "Once more thou wilt show us tender affection and wash out our guilt," Jenny read, "casting all our sins into the depths of the sea." Jenny noticed that the word depths was underlined. Mrs. Sheckley hung up the phone and smiled over her thick glasses at Jenny. "Your mom will be over in just a few minutes," Mrs. Sheckley explained. "Your friend's parents have just arrived and she's seeing them off. Now," and Jenny noticed that her voice had turned serious, "you need to explain to me why you and your friends were sneaking around my house." Jenny gulped. How much of the mystery should she share with Mrs. Sheckley? Finally, she thought, why not all of it? "My friend Sammy and I were at the art museum last week, and we saw the paintings by Sheffield Matheson that were there," she explained. Jenny watched for Mrs. Sheckley's reaction, but the lady acted as if she had never heard the name. "They have this set of paintings called The Broken Dozen," Jenny continued. "The man there said that the last painting in the set, number 11, was in Mr. Matheson's studio when it burned down, and my mom told us that he used to live here." "So you thought you would come over here and look for the lost painting," Mrs. Sheckley said. "Didn't your parents ever tell you about private property and that it's against the law to trespass?" Jenny nodded her head soberly. "I've had too many problems caused by thoughtless teenagers on my property," Mrs. Sheckley's voice softened. "I don't get around very well since my eyes aren't working so well anymore. Maybe that's why I seem so mean to kids." Then she shook her head and looked at Jenny. "Yes, Sheffield Matheson lived in this house many years ago. I know the story, but looking around here is a waste of time. There's no painting. If there were a painting, I would have found it a long time ago." "All that's left is this house and Sheffield Matheson's family Bible," Mrs. Sheckley added, pointing to the big book in Jenny's lap. Jenny looked down. "This is his Bible? Wow!" She stared at the page it was opened to and noticed that three other verses were written next to Micah 7:19. "Why would Sheffield Matheson write those other verses in here?" She quickly tried to memorize them. Deuteronomy 5, verse 8, Romans 15, verse 20, and Revelation 20, verse 1. Outside the window, Sammy watched Jenny and Mrs. Sheckley talking. After a while, he realized that Jenny was in no danger. He heard a noise behind him and saw Mrs. Wallace's car drive up in front of the house. Jenny and Mrs. Sheckley were still talking when they heard a knocking at the door. "Just a minute." Jenny watched Mrs. Sheckley hobble across the floor to the front door. Outside the door stood Mrs. Wallace and Sammy. "Hi, Mom," Jenny said weakly when the door opened. Sammy waved shyly from behind her. "Jenny," Mrs. Wallace said, "are you all right?" She rushed across the room and knelt by Jenny to check her leg. "I'm afraid she's the victim of a termite-eaten porch," Mrs. Sheckley said, chuckling. "I don't think she's hurt too bad. I've cleaned her scratches up already." "I'm so sorry this happened, Mrs. Sheckley," Mrs. Wallace said. "I'm not," Mrs. Sheckley responded. "I mean, I'm sorry she hurt her leg, but I'm glad I got the chance to meet Jenny." She nodded toward Jenny. "Just don't be a stranger now, Jenny." "I promise I'll come back," Jenny said, as Sammy and Mrs. Wallace helped her out the door to the car. "I'm sorry I ran away, Jenny," Sammy said, sitting by her later in the Wallace's living room. "That's okay, Sammy," Jenny said. "It turned out all right." "What was Mrs. Sheckley like?" Dee Dee asked. "Were you scared?" Chris asked. Chris, Dee Dee, and the other shoebox kids had come back to Jenny's house when they heard that she had been injured. "I was at first," Jenny admitted. "She yelled at me when she first came out. But then I found out that kids in the neighborhood had been tearing up her yard. She can't get around very well, so she tries to scare them to keep them away. Actually, she's just lonely." Jenny was quiet for a moment. "She asked me to come back and see her, and I will." "What about the mystery?" Chris asked. "Are we ever going to find the painting?" "She didn't think there was a painting," Jenny said. "Besides, people are more important than solving a mystery." "Her place really needs cleaning up," Maria said. "We should offer to wash her windows." "And rake her leaves," Chris added. "And fix her porch," Jenny said. "I'm not sure I want to hear her yelling at us," Dee Dee said. "Hey, guys," Sammy said, suddenly excited. "What if we sneak over there while she's gone and rake her yard? She'll come back and be excited that someone has done something good for her for a change. But the fun part will be that she won't know who did it." Great, said Chris. A sneak attack to clean up. But how do we know the neighbors won't call the police while we're there? I can call the Mill Valley police beforehand, Mrs. Wallace said, who was just entering the room. I think when I explain what we're doing and why, they'll be understanding. Fine, Jenny said. Then let's plan on this Friday after school. She told me that her neighbor takes her to the grocery store every Friday afternoon. We'll watch for them to leave, then move in and clean up the yard. She looked up at Mrs. Wallace. We promise we won't go anywhere we're not supposed to. Is that clock broken? Sammy thought for the fourth time Friday afternoon. Will school ever end? He heard a loud sigh from Jenny and knew she was thinking the same thing. Finally, the bell rang and everyone headed to Jenny's house. Willie, who went to a different school, was already there when they arrived. Willie's dad brought their van, filled with rakes and a large supply of plastic bags. Mr. Wallace had left his pickup with Jenny's mom. She had her work clothes on and was loading a box full of window washing equipment when the kids showed up. Everything's all set, Mrs. Wallace said. I let the police know, and they were very understanding. I even called the neighbor who takes her and found out that they always leave at 3 o'clock. I told her about the secret cleanup, and she promised to keep it a surprise. Oh, great. Now the whole world knows who we are, Chris said. Relax, Chris, Maria said. We just don't want any trouble. The shoebox kids, Mr. Teller and Mrs. Wallace, piled into the van and pickup and drove over to Jackson Street a few minutes before 3. Before long, Mrs. Sheckley's neighbor drove up, and a few minutes later, Mrs. Sheckley was loaded into the car and they were gone. Okay, everybody out, Mr. Teller yelled as they pulled up in front of Mrs. Sheckley's house. Grab a bag and a rake, and let's get going. Maria, Jenny, do you want to help me on the windows? Mrs. Wallace said as she pulled the box of cleaning supplies from the pickup. How long will they be gone? Willie asked. About 45 minutes, so we have to work fast, said Mrs. Wallace. She and the two girls with her had already started spraying and wiping the windows. I'll keep a special lookout for their car, Willie said. He pulled his rake toward him across the brown leaves. Isn't this great, Sammy thought. She'll be so happy to see her yard cleaned up. He paused and looked up from his raking. A movement across the street caught his eye. Is that a person standing under that tree? Could it be? He closed his eyes and shook his head. When he opened his eyes again, no one was there.
You have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 5, The Broken Dozen Mystery, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.